Welcome to this Friday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. For Friday, the 18th day of September, 2020. Good to have you along today. Thanks for joining the fun, whenever and wherever you may be listening. Hope you and yours are doing well. So we have a weekend upon us. You don't have to actually climb up on anything to see it in the distance. It's just right there. I mean, seriously, look over there. And see that? It's the weekend. It's right here. I know still for many of us, every day is like a weekend. And for some, it's even worse. I mean, when I say worse, it's like the weekend is here, but you're locked in your house. Particularly of people in Hawaii. It's a bizarre situation going on in Hawaii. By the way, I was corrected. The governor's name is not EJ, it's Ige. Governor Ige. It's a Japanese name. I don't know how to pronounce it. Thanks to my buddy Joel for correcting my pronunciation. The situation in Hawaii is just nuts. And I have a story about that in the stack today that I'm going to get to. But it's a typical story of what's happening when government gets a little too comfortable and forgets they're the servants of the people, not the rulers of the people. We'll look at that a little bit later on, as well as other things. Let me take a look at the list here. By the way, in today's show notes, you're getting a warts and all dump today. It's everything in show notes because I'm just going to send you everything I've got in my stack for the day rather than just what I get to talk about because of time, because it's Friday. Why not? I'll just let you have everything that I had stacked up thinking about, talking about. I may not get to Act Blue raising millions of dollars in suspicious gift card donations. I may not get to the Illinois Democrat governor whining about the government bailing out his state. By the way, I just want to say about that, go look that guy up, the governor of Illinois, and tell me he does not look like a movie mobster. Come on. The governor of Pennsylvania, Tom Wolf, he is unhappy. Bless his poor little pea-picking heart. He's appealing a federal judge ruling that called the pandemic shutdown that he instituted unconstitutional. He is abusing his people for their own good because he's a good progressive. And a federal judge has said, oh, no, you don't. That's wrong. And there is a lot more to talk about today. Those are three stories I may not get to. I may not. We'll see. But let's get started with a story that I think is a duh moment. A results of a new national survey of more than 10,000 U.S. adults released by the Pew Research Center on Tuesday revealed that support for the Black Lives Matter movement has waned over the last 3 months. Remember what I said? Duh. According to the survey conducted September 8th through 12th, both strong support and general support for BLM has dropped compared to results from a similar survey conducted June 4th through 10th of this year. From the Pew report, a majority of U.S. adults, 55%, now express at least some support for the movement, down from 67% in June amid nationwide demonstrations sparked by the death of George Floyd. The share who say they strongly support the movement stands at 29%. That is down from 38% 3 months ago. So it's down 9% from what it was 3 months ago. Pew says the decline is most notable among white and Hispanic adults, with support among whites falling from 60 to 45% and that of Hispanics dipping from 77 to 66%. The 87% support of black adults was virtually unchanged. In both surveys, Pew asked panelists to respond to the following question. And here's your question. From what you've heard and read and heard, how do you feel about the Black Lives Matter movement? And of course, the information sourcing would determine the outcome on that question. It depends on what you have seen, have read, have heard. It would depend on that totally. So when you look at the breakdown, you realize that the people, where the people are getting their information from matters. And the 87% support of black adults tells us that these people are getting their information from progressive outlets, black radio, and things like that. And not so much for whites and Hispanics. They're looking for other sources for their news. Many of them are. So Black Lives Matter, the support just for the movement, not necessarily the organization itself. Black Lives Matter is a Marxist front group for anarchy. The organization is. Just go to their website and look at the What We Believe page. And you'll see exactly what they believe. They are Marxists. And Marxists, their entire goal is to undermine what's happening. Well, to undermine the United States of America and to recreate it after their dear founders' ideology. They have no intent of actually helping black people. They have no intent of finding ways to reduce crime in black neighborhoods. They have no intent to help anyone do anything except to overthrow the government of the United States of America. That's all they care about. Well, that's pretty strong, Mark. Well, go look at their website, see what they believe. You'll understand, these people are communists, and they want a communist takeover of America. And that really is that. There's no other way to paint it. None whatsoever. And Black Lives Matter is benefiting from sentiment created by disinformation and misinformation spread by the victim culture that's been growing in America for quite some time. Everybody's a victim. The way you get ahead, the way you get your cause recognized, the way you get support is to become a victim. If you don't believe it, just go look at GoFundMe and see what's happening on GoFundMe. And people who have set up GoFundMe accounts because they are victims of this or that or the other thing, and uninformed, gullible people are throwing money at them. I'm not saying that all of GoFundMe is that way, but if you look around it, you will see there's a lot of that going on. And people who've been thrown in jail as part of BLM, they set up GoFundMe accounts to bail these people out because they're victims of oppression. And that's just not the truth. And you and I both know that. But Black Lives Matter and the entire Black Lives Matter movement, they're banking on people having an emotional sympathy for people who are downtrodden and oppressed. But when we actually look at the statistics, we look at the facts, we look at the facts about what's actually happening in America with the black community with regard to police and pretty much everything else, we find that nobody's actually being oppressed except by those who claim to be there to help them. And those who claim to be there to help them are keeping them from succeeding and benefiting by lying to them and making them believe that they are owed everything. In that very real essence, they are keeping black people in America on a plantation designed by progressives to do their bidding for them. It is sick. It is twisted. It is actually horrible. But that is progressivism. The manipulation of people. You lie to them. You tell them you care about them. You tell them you're fighting for them. But in truth, they are merely pawns in your game trying to take over a country. And the game has to be funded somehow. And we know, you and I, those of us who actually have been paying attention and tracking what's been going on in our country and in other places around the world for a while, understand that that funding comes from various places. But one person who is behind a lot of the funding for what we're watching happening in America today is a guy by the name of George Soros. We talked yesterday about what happened on Fox News on Outnumbered. When Speaker Gingrich got shut down when he brought up George Soros, they silenced him, reporting liberal activist billionaire George Soros funding prosecutors, fueling crime in an election year. out of fear of anti-Semitic statements. But they wound up covering up the real story. Of course, this is according to former Fox News host Bill O'Reilly, who's spoken out about it. And here's what O'Reilly has to say. I'm not going to comment on the Fox News personnel there. I'm going to tell you the truth right now, because Speaker Gingrich knows the truth. He said this on his no-spin news broadcast on First TV last night. So George Soros has donated $17 million to county races to get far-left progressives into the district attorney's office. That is a fact. $17 million. Now, these are only county races, so that's an enormous amount of money. O'Reilly notes that Soros's $275,000 donation to Judge Diana Becton, the first female African-American to be elected district attorney in the history of Contra Costa, California. He says she is a DA who will not persecute or prosecute looters if they're poor. She says, oh, they need it? Oh, it's okay if they break into a store because they need what they're stealing. Now, this is not an exaggeration, I have to say here. This is absolute truth. This is something we've talked about. Remember, the DA told the people in that area, told the cops in that area, they have to exercise another level of judgment and determine whether or not the person stealing those 12 pairs of Air Jordans actually needed them or not. O'Reilly added that in Cook County, Illinois, where Chicago has had a rising crime problem, State Attorney General Kim Fox, familiar name, received $2 million from Soros. He says, this is a Jussie Smollett, total fraud. She was in charge of that. Philadelphia DA Larry Krasner really received $1.5 million from Soros. O'Reilly says, Krasner doesn't want to keep anybody in jail, no cash bail, nothing. Let everybody out, violent criminals. Yeah, okay. Philadelphia is a mess. In St. Louis, Missouri, Attorney General Kimberly Gardner, who is attempting to prosecute Mark and Patricia McCloskey. The McCloskeys, remember them? They're the people who stood out on their front steps or the front walk of their home holding firearms as the protesters broke through their community gate and came into their neighborhood looking for somebody's house. Do you remember this? Missouri Attorney General Kimberly Gardner. She's attempting to prosecute Mark and Patricia McCloskey for felony use of weapons to protect their home from social justice protesters. She received $68,000 from Soros. The national murder rate is up 15% from last year, 26% in the largest cities run by Democrats. O'Reilly says, so Gingrich is absolutely correct. Absolutely right. Now, none of these people on the panel team seem to understand what Gingrich is talking about. I think it's a fair assessment. But the rule is, if you invoke the name of George Soros, then you're anti-Semitic, because Soros is Jewish. He's a secular Jew. He's not a practicing Jew. Not that it matters. And then he reiterates, this is a factual story. If you're not familiar with George Soros, let me encourage you to do a little digging today and read about the man. Find out where he's coming from. Find out what he's done in the past. Learn. This guy has toppled the currency of nations just to get what he wants. This guy is funding not only district attorneys, but Secretary of State races and other races in states across America. He is pouring millions of dollars into small campaign races where that money will really make a big, big difference. And in doing so, he's turning the political climate in mainstream America against mainstream America. That's you and me. It's time to wake up and pay attention and find a way to deal with this guy. Now. Welcome back. It's the Daily Perspective. Friday, the 18th day of September, 2020. Diving off into a weekend. getting ready for a road trip myself. Heading to Jonesboro, Arkansas for a quick overnighter. And then back to do all the things we didn't have time to do while we were watching all the scenery roll by our windows in the car. Oh my, 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 my. I'm looking through my stuff here trying to find a story that I posted earlier this morning to Facebook. Because, I wanted to reference it. And of course now it's just, it's gone. I can't find it. Let's see. Okay, is that it? Is that it? Is that it? It could be, might be. I don't know. Let's move along instead of me distracting myself. Well, now, Tipsy Aunt Nancy has come out on the floor of the House of Representatives, and she has done what you and I and everybody with a brain did 6 months ago, and that is she condemned people who are looting, starting fires, and rioting, and called for those people to be prosecuted. Pelosi began her speech by saying, quote, "We support peaceful demonstrations. We participate in them. They're part of the essence of our democracy. That does not include looting, starting fires, or rioting. They should be prosecuted. That is lawlessness." And then she adds, "I'm very proud that Joe Biden has presented the clarity of that, making a distinction that I don't think our colleagues quite understand, but the American people do, and a poll released today, ding, said that the American people support congressional Democrats over President Trump in terms of dealing with the issue of crime in our country for all their misrepresentations." I'll get back to polling in a minute. President Donald Trump has focused much of his campaign on a law and order message strategy, accusing Democrats of being weak on riots that have broken out alongside peaceful protests against police violence. But Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden has repeatedly blasted the idea that he's sympathetic to rioters. In an early September speech, he said, "Let's get something straight here. Protesting is protesting, my buddy John Lewis used to say, but none of it justifies looting, burning, or anything else." Those remarks followed a late August speech in Pittsburgh in which he said, "You know me, you know my heart, you know my story, my family's story. Ask yourself, do I look like a radical socialist with a soft spot for rioters? Really?" On that occasion, the Democratic nominee added, "I want a safe America, safe from COVID, safe from crime and looting, safe from racially motivated violence, safe from bad cops. Let me be crystal clear, safe from 4 more years of Donald Trump." Wow. Biden and the Democrats are doing everything they can to convince the gullible that what's happening in Democrat-run cities, under Democrat administrations, under Democrat district attorneys, is Donald Trump's fault. The President of the United States. The Democrats want the people to believe that the President of the United States is a king, or some sort of monarch who can just decree things, and every city, every state in the nation has to abide by what he says. This is not true. Our Constitution prevents that from happening. Our founders crafted the Constitution so that we would not have that situation because it's dangerous and harmful to the people. Our nation is set up under a principle of self-rule. We govern ourselves. We send representatives to represent us at the national level and the state level and the local level, but they represent us because we govern ourselves. People like 47-year do-nothing Joe Biden want the people to believe that the president has immense power over the United States of America that he does not have. Nancy Pelosi, referring to a poll, it just blows my mind because this is why she's saying what she's saying. Because polling data, it has been telling them They're sinking. They're losing. They're losing the voters. They're losing the attention of the American people. They're losing the fight in this election because they're tone deaf when it comes to the damage, the rioting, the violence, the killing that's going on in Democrat-controlled cities and states in America. So now, less than 60 days before the election, the Speaker of the House steps to the floor and says that they condemn all of this going on. They support peaceful demonstrations, participate in them. They're part of the essence of our democracy. It's not a democracy. It's a representative republic. That doesn't include looting, starting fires, or rioting. They should be prosecuted. That's lawlessness. The problem is that the percentage, that little percentage that is lawlessness, is doing incredible amounts of damage. And these liberal, these progressive prosecutors, district attorneys and the like in these cities are just turning these people loose again, basically taking names and setting them back out on the street. And we're learning that some of those people whose names they have taken and released have long records of violence. Long records of violence. They've been in trouble with the law many, many times. And these people just keep turning them loose again. Where there is no deterrence, crime thrives. Where there is no deterrence, violence spreads. Where there is no deterrence, chaos grows. Anarchy plants its roots. And that is the plan. The progressives are undermining law and order for the purpose of lying to the American public to let them believe, to lead them to believe that things are out of control because a man in an office in Washington, D.C. who has no legal authority to change what's going on in their city and state is to blame for it. They will continue to tell this lie as long as people will keep repeating the lie. And people will keep repeating the lie because the news media is in bed with the politicians and they just keep fertilizing everything and it keeps growing. And it's mind-boggling. It's absolutely mind-boggling. We are being inundated with information which is just basically bald-faced lies. We've discussed this before. The 1619 project put forth by the New York Times, which is just basically a pile of debunked garbage. It is progressive opinion on American history, not American history. Our kids are being taught things which are not so. They're not true. It's important that when they come home from school, as parents and grandparents, we need to sit down with the kiddos and our families and ask them, what are they teaching you about American history? What are they teaching you about how the country works? And then sit down with our mobile phones or iPads or sit them down at the computer and look up the truth about what's going on, about the way our nation was founded, and explain to them why it was founded the way it was. Explain to them why certain things have happened. Debunk the lies that they've been told. The resources are out there. The Heritage Foundation has lots of material to use. PragerU has lots of video. There's even more places, but they're out there. Dig it up. Use it. Correct the indoctrination so the kids will understand. They're not being told the truth. And it's a tough situation. They have to be in the school. They have to make the grades to keep moving forward. But unfortunately, we have to teach our kids in grammar school, in elementary school now, what we had to teach our kids going into college. It used to be that the kids would go into college and you would at some point set them down and tell them, listen, you're going to be told a lot of garbage, a lot of stuff that's not true. You're going to be told things you do not agree with. You're going to be lied to in class, and you're going to know it. But in order to succeed, to get through, you need to just bite your lip, pass the course, and cling to the truth. If you want that degree that you value so highly, you're going to have to put up, you're going to have to wade through a lot of fertilizer to get there. We used to tell our college students, our high school graduates this, today we have to prepare our little kids for this. In not so many words, but we still have to prepare them and let them know that we want to know everything they're taught in school. You see, we're learning now with remote learning, people doing their Zoom classes and the like. We're learning that our children are being taught things that the educational systems don't want us knowing about. So it's extremely important for us to let our kids know. We want to know what they're telling you at school, because we've got to preserve those little minds. We've got to rescue them before they're deceived. And someday we look at the news and find our kids out on the streets breaking the glass windows of businesses and throwing Molotov cocktails because they believe a lie. It's important. And fortunately, our president has taken a step in that direction, and it's driving the liberals insane. We'll talk about that next. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast, and I'm going to fire the computer. That's just it. I mean, I know the only thing I ever feed you or give you is, hang on, let me, is power to make sure you're, you know, you got what you need, but come on. Okay. I don't know why, but for some reason it's decided it just doesn't want to give me bumper music now. Oh, well, there we have it. Skimming through social media during the break, I'm just amazed. I have to open this article here. Let me see what it has to say from redstate.com. I know I told you I was going to get to something else here, but this just caught my attention, and I really need to see what this has to say, because the title of the article is Joe Biden claims that President Trump could save everyone from dying from Wuhan virus, and CNN's doctor agrees. Of course, this has got to be talking about the farce that went on CNN last night. Oh, gosh. Democratic presidential candidate, former Vice President Joe Biden speaks after participating in a coronavirus vaccine briefing with public health experts. Oops, sorry, no. This was on Wednesday the 16th. Last night, Joe Biden was, okay, it is about that, the town hall. Joe Biden was a participant in a highly scripted town hall hosted by CNN. Now, I got to be honest with you. I've been watching clips of this morning, and I agree. It was highly scripted. You could tell from the expression on his face, he knew every question he was being asked. He knew exactly what was going on. He was not blindsided by anything. He was not challenged. And that's the key. CNN and the Democrats don't want him to be challenged. The clear objective of the town hall was to try to build a rather improbable narrative that Biden is lucid and able to comprehend who and where he is. Not sure they're able to pull that off, but despite carefully chosen and friendly questions, his answers were veritable James Bond martini, that is. They left you shaken, not stirred. One of the more bizarre episodes happened here. He claimed that Trump is responsible for every single person who has died from COVID-19. He said if the president had done his job from the beginning, all the people would still be alive. All the people. I'm not making this up. Just look at the data. Look at the data. Wow. Well, the best you can say about this comment is that Biden knows this is a grotesque lie, but thinks CNN's audience is too stupid to know any different and had confidence that no one in the media will challenge him. The more likely explanation is that Biden believes what he said because his short-term memory is totally shot and CNN's audience is too stupid to know any different, and the media are so invested in his election that they won't mention it. Oh, gosh. Factually, it's beyond absurd to say that any action taken by the federal government contributed in any way to a single death. If you want to search for blood-soaked hands, then look at New York's Andrew Cuomo, Michigan's Gretchen Whitmer. They forced nursing homes chock full of the most vulnerable citizens to accept patients with Wuhan infections, and in the process, carried out a virtual genocide of the elderly and infirm. If you really want to see malicious and callous acts, then check out Pennsylvania's Health Secretary Rachel Levine, who, while ordering Pennsylvania nursing homes to accept Wuhan patients, but then removed his own mother from a nursing home to keep her safe. In fact, as President Trump was acting, the very people criticizing him now were accusing him of overreacting. The stunning part of this is that this claim has been left unchanged and unchallenged. Not even a clarification, no sign of a CNN or PolitiFact or Washington Post fact check of that claim. None. The media, particularly CNN, perfectly willing to tell a monumental lie in the service of Joe Biden's election. And that's what we're dealing with. Joe Biden, there's a breakdown somewhere, and I may have it here, but there's a breakdown of the way the questions stacked up in Trump's interview the other night, in Trump's town hall the other night, and then Biden's town hall last night. And the way things stacked up were completely unbalanced. Of course they were. Of course they were. Because the progressive press wants Joe Biden in the Oval Office. It is sickening. It is sad. But we can't trust the progressive news media anymore. We really never could, but now it's becoming blatantly obvious. And in my opinion, that's one of the beautiful things about the Trump presidency. That is that he has managed to remove all doubt about where these people stand. He just says what he believes, does what he believes, and then lets them go insane. And when they go insane, everybody gets to see exactly what they're made of. As a reminder, just go back and look at all of the things they said and did during the confirmations for Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Just go look at that. Look at the insanity before the 2016 election. Look at the things they accused him of. And they're doing it again. They're pulling bimbos out of the woodwork. They're doing everything they can to undermine him. Right now, I encourage you, don't believe anything you see or hear anyone say about Donald Trump. Everything is BS. It's all made up for damage for the election. All of it. Because he's doing things which they hate. For example, yesterday President Trump announced a federal 1776 commission. I told you I'd get to it. To promote patriotic education. And he accused Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden and the New York Times of warping history. The president said Democrats and the Times 1619 Project promote an inaccurate version of U.S. history by overemphasizing race and the legacy of slavery. He said, I will soon sign an executive order establishing a national commission to promote patriotic education. It will be called the 1776 Commission. He said this during a 17-minute speech at the National Archives marking the anniversary of the signing of the Constitution. The commission will encourage our educators to teach your children about the miracle of American history and make plans to honor the 250th anniversary of our founding in 2026. As we gather this afternoon, a radical movement is attempting to demolish this treasured and precious inheritance. We can't let that happen. Left-wing mobs have torn down statues of our founders, desecrated our memorials, and carried out a campaign of violence and anarchy. Far-left demonstrators have chanted the words, America was never great. The left has launched a vicious and violent assault on law enforcement, the universal symbol of the rule of law in America. These radicals have been aided and abetted by liberal politicians, establishment media, and even large corporations. Whether it is the mob on the street or the cancel culture in the boardroom, the goal is the same, to silence dissent, to scare you out of speaking the truth, and to bully Americans into abandoning their values, their heritage, and their very way of life. We are here today to declare that we will never submit to tyranny. We will reclaim our history and our country for citizens of every race, color, religion, and creed. The left has warped, distorted, and defiled the American story with deceptions, falsehoods, and lies. There's no better example than the New York Times totally discredited 1619 Project. The 1619 Project, he said, rewrites American history to teach our children that we were founded on the principle of oppression, not freedom. Nothing could be further from the truth. America's founding set in motion the unstoppable chain of events that abolished slavery, secured civil rights, defeated communism and fascism, and built the most fair, equal, and prosperous nation in human history. Trump said that some popular assessments of U.S. history bear a striking resemblance to the anti-American propaganda of our adversaries. He says, students in our universities are inundated with critical race theory. This is a Marxist doctrine holding that America is a wicked and racist nation, that even young children are complicit in oppression, and that our entire society must be radically transformed. Does that sound familiar?
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Critical race theory is being forced into our children's schools. It's being imposed into workplace trainings. It's being deployed to rip apart friends, neighbors, and families. A perfect example of critical race theory was recently published by the Smithsonian Institution. This document alleged that concepts such as hard work, rational thinking, the nuclear family, and belief in God were not values that unite all Americans, but were instead aspects of whiteness. This is offensive and outrageous to Americans of every ethnicity, and is especially harmful to children of minority backgrounds who should be uplifted, not disparaged. In a direct jab at former Vice President Biden, Trump announced he would erect a monument to Delaware Founding Father Caesar Rodney in a forthcoming National Garden of American Heroes, which he announced in July as activists in many cities tore down historical statues. A statue to Rodney was removed in June from a square in Biden's hometown of Wilmington, Delaware, amid national anti-police brutality and anti-racism protests linked to the May killing of George Floyd by Minneapolis police. Can I just tell you folks, come on, New York Post, get it right. That should read the death of George Floyd in May while in custody of the Minnesota police. I think we're all pretty much on the same page now. We agree George Floyd overdosed and killed himself. Rodney was a Delaware delegate suffering from cancer who rode 70 miles on a horse to Philadelphia to cast a tie-breaking vote for independence before the signing of the Declaration of Independence in 1776. He was also a slave owner. Trump said Joe Biden said nothing as to his home state's history and the fact that it was dismantled and dismembered. Today, America will give this founding father, this very brave man who was so horribly treated, the place of honor he deserves. The Biden campaign didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. The president also railed against critical race theory, which stresses the importance of race rather than individuals in analysis of social and historical issues, saying the only path to national unity is through our shared identity as Americans. Critical race theory, the 1619 Project, and the crusade against American history is toxic propaganda, ideological poison that, if not removed, will dissolve the civic bonds that tie us together. He's absolutely right. They're teaching critical race theory everywhere now. And its entire purpose is division. It's not to help anyone. It's not to lift anyone else up. It's to punish people for perceived evil. Evil imagined by progressive imaginations. It has nothing to do with truth. Because for progressives, truth is very inconvenient. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast for Friday, the 18th day of September, 2020. I decided to take bumper music into my own hands. I'll get it fixed sometime this weekend when I'm not driving. It's a, oh man. I'm scanning. I do this every time I hit these breaks and I scan social media. And I see this on Twitter. Twitter's public policy chief departs to join Joe Biden's transition team. And you may be thinking, well, that's premature. Well, they always do this. They always build a team of people for the transition. It's just common. It doesn't mean they're going to win. It just means they're preparing. A former Democratic aide who served as Twitter's director of public policy has left the social media company's Washington, D.C. office to join Joe Biden's transition team, according to a report. The Democratic presidential nominee's team declined to comment to Politico. Politico cited a source familiar with Carlos Monge's move and what his new role is. Monge, who did not respond to Politico's request for comment, serves as co-chair of Biden's Infrastructure Policy Committee and helped host a fundraiser for the former VP this week, according to an invitation obtained by the news outlet. He previously served as the director of agency review on the team that prepared for a possible Hillary Clinton administration. This is a guy, by the way, who's used to be the public policy chief at Twitter. You can tell he's a progressive, he's a leftist, he's a liberal, he's a Democrat in charge of public policy at Twitter. He also helped with the Senate confirmation of two cabinet secretaries as part of the Obama administration team's 2008 National Security Working Group. That's according to his LinkedIn profile. Also, according to his LinkedIn profile, he began working at Twitter in 2017 after serving in Barack Obama's White House, as well as on the transition team for former Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton. Twitter spokesperson Ian Plunkett says, "We don't have anything to share." And the Biden campaign has not responded to a request for comment. So, just as an FYI, when you're dealing with Twitter, you're dealing with the Democrat Party. And their candidate is a piece of work. Over at thefederalistpapers.org, there's a story that I wanted to share with you called "Joe Biden Openly Scoffs at Your Constitutional Rights." And he repeats a threat. This is something he said before. If you have a good memory, you'll remember him saying that no amendment is absolute. The shocking wave of authoritarianism unleashed during the current crisis only seems to have reinforced former Vice President Joe Biden's view of constitutional amendments. Speaking to Wired in an interview published Thursday, Biden said that no amendment is absolute, thus suggesting that even something as precious as the freedoms guaranteed under the Bill of Rights are not set in stone. Responding to a public curiosity about his gun control platform, Biden explained that not only what he felt about the Second Amendment, but all of the similarly vital constitutional amendments as well. Quote, "From the very beginning, you weren't allowed to have certain weapons. You weren't allowed to own a cannon during the Revolutionary War as an individual. Anybody think you should be able to get out and have a machine gun these days? The answer is no. We have a rational policy. No amendment to the Constitution is absolute." While much of his statement is technically true, though historians have expressed doubts regarding the existence of laws banning private cannon ownership during the Revolutionary War, that's according to PolitiFact, this should not be a fact that's used to push an agenda. Our rights to speak and worship freely, to defend ourselves with a firearm, and even have a trial by a jury of our peers all hinge on constitutional amendments that can be repealed by a difficult but feasible process. Even the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery, is fair game, at least if you take Biden's reasoning to its logical endpoint. This isn't likely to win him any fans in the African-American community, especially after previous gaffes seemingly demeaning them. After all, if you ain't voting for him, you ain't black. Constitutional amendments, whether we're talking about the First Amendment, Second Amendment, Sixth Amendment, the 13th Amendment, are there for a reason. And it's terrifying to think that liberal politicians like Biden are so enthusiastic about stripping away the rights guaranteed under the Constitution in order to push an agenda. Of course, this isn't the former vice president's first attempt at highlighting the fact that constitutional amendments are not set in stone. In 2019, Biden claimed that no amendment is in fact absolute, while speaking about gun control, scoffing at patriots and others who take their rights seriously. He said then, according to the Washington Examiner, "These guys will tell you the Tree of Liberty is watered with the blood of patriots. Give me a break." Fortunately for Americans, altering the framework of the Constitution is a daunting task. Since Americans' amendments can't be simply cut from the document due to their binding nature, additional amendments must be passed to change the other ones. Article 5 of the Constitution lays out the process for passing such a serious measure. First, either a two-thirds majority in both houses of Congress or a convention called by legislatures in two-thirds of the states is needed, just for an amendment to be proposed. Three-quarters of state legislatures or state conventions must then ratify the amendment for it to go into effect. While our system is built on a web of checks and balances not only between different branches of government but also between the citizenry and the state itself, Biden's remarks are a haunting threat to hear from a presidential candidate. Scoffing at our rights, many of which took bloodshed to obtain, puts Biden's flippant and dangerous view of our nation's most important document on full display. Joe Biden is showing us a very typical liberal view of the law, the founding law of this nation, the Constitution of the United States of America. It's what guides everything. It is the framework, the foundation that everything else is built upon. Barack Obama famously said that the Constitution was a document of negatives. He complained about that. He thought that was a flaw. No, that's not a flaw. That's the purpose. There's a reason our Constitution says Congress shall not, multiple times. Because those who crafted it understood what politicians were all about, and that the kind of people who would seek to run for office and be in that kind of control, like someone who has been in national government for 47 years, would do with the kind of power that they would gain from winning their office. And Joe Biden has always wanted to be president. He's wanted to be president so badly, he's run for the office. What is this, his third time now? And this time, I'm sorry to say, he looks like a doddering, weak old man. He sounds like he's confused. Many of his off-the-cuff statements in public appearances are just a word salad that people have trouble understanding. But deep down inside, what he believes about your rights should trouble you. He believes that your rights can be changed, which is starkly different from what our founders believed when they penned our founding document. They believed that your rights were natural. You were born with them, and that it was government's job to protect them, not to negotiate with you about which ones you thought you should have and should not have. Our founders believed that God gave you your rights and that they had no business messing with what God gave you. Joe Biden and others like him don't believe that. They believe that government is the source of what you can and cannot do. And they're trying to condition as many people as possible into believing the same thing. That rights are actually privileges granted by and monitored by government. This is not true. Among your rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If people like Joe Biden succeed in controlling this country, your liberties will be even further hindered, as he has demonstrated by saying what he would do nationally regarding coronavirus. Your pursuit of happiness will all but vanish, because he'll make it impossible to seek the things you want for your life. And life? Life is already up for grabs because of the progressive position on the unborn. Just one more example of why creepy Uncle Joe does not need to be president. That's it for this week. God bless you. Have a good weekend. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.